Beethoven's Symphony No. 5. The celebrated and award-winning British conductor Nicholas Cullen will make his Toronto Symphony Orchestra debut tomorrow and Saturday with the piece. He is the co-founder of the Aurora Orchestra and will take the podium as chief conductor for the Residency Orchestra in The Hague this September before he takes over as chief conductor with the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra during the 2021-2022 season. He is the talk of the town, a very busy person from what I can glean from looking at his bio, and somehow we've managed to sneak him into the building here, and I want to say, Nicholas, welcome. So wonderful to meet you.
Hi, very nice to meet you too.
What a life, what a career. It seems like we talked a little bit off air. You're a very busy person, but your job now is to try and balance that all out.
It is, and it's a great privilege going around the world and conducting lots of fantastic orchestras and meeting lots of new people and seeing their cultures, and it's a wonderful job.
We're so thrilled to have you here, and I know it's everything's happening. There's very few tickets left for these performances, but I might have buried the lead here. Born in 1983. So we think of you starting the Aurora. That was a very ambitious undertaking at 20 or 21 years old.
Yeah, I suppose it was. Yeah, I left Cambridge University. I started it with a friend of mine, another conductor who's called Robin Ticciati.
Right.
And we left Cambridge and we just put on a concert in London, where we come from, and got friends together who'd been with us in the National Youth Orchestra and Music College and that kind of thing.
So left Cambridge as in just...
As in, no, we finished. We finished it.
I was wondering.
We didn't jettison.
Sure.
We left, rightfully so, with, whatever degree it was, I can't remember. Well, of course I can remember, but yeah. And then went into the big wide world of London and started up an orchestra.
That's a time when so many kids at that age are into pop music in a very, sort of general way. Did it feel out of the ordinary to be so immersed in classical at a young age? I mean, I know you have a lot of, pop music that you love, but...
For me, no. I mean, I was from a musical family.
Yeah.
So it never seemed out of the ordinary. I was very lucky to go to a very musical school and, be surrounded by friends who were very much into music.
So. Right.
No, it was
so nobody was saying, hey, check out this latest hip-hop record and
oh, yeah, no, I had all
derailing
that.
You.
I think mutual respect is what it's all about.
Sure.
I was fortunate not to have people who looked down on the concept of being into classical music. So that never really happened to me.
I think kids at that age, too, just kind of scratch their heads. They go, okay, well, if it seems like that's important music, so you go ahead and I don't understand it, but, I like that you do. I remember kids
totally.
Like that saying that to me as a classical music lover.
Yeah, exactly. I think it really does depend also on where you are and the kind of culture you're brought up in.
Sure, of course.
No, I was very fortunate with that. And people respect it. It's like, wow, you're into, playing the piano and you can do that. And they like that.
You are the first non-Finnish chief conductor for the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra.
Mm. This is true. I am very much not from Finland.
A Belgian background, though.
I'm totally English. My dad is Belgian.
Okay.
Was Belgian.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's still around, but he naturalized British. But so my surname is Colon. Yeah.
Very Belgian good. Did you feel that, are you feeling, is there any repercussion from the cult, from Finns and from the culture of Finland to this announcement? Have you felt any reverberation?
That's an interesting question. So I was announced last week. I was in Finland.
Okay.
Last Thursday. It's exactly a week ago. I think it was a bit of a surprise for them.
Sure.
It's the radio orchestra. It's very much their, part of their purpose is to serve and promote Finnish culture. And it's an incredibly musical country with a really high achieving cultural background. They send out enormous numbers of conductors and soloists and musicians, so it's quite nice to return the favor. Like in Britain, we have three, I think, Finnish conductors who are
sure.
top of orchestras, and it's not gone the other way yet.
Right. Well, it's very exciting. This weekend, we're going to be seeing you conducting the Symphony of Destiny, as it's known, Beethoven's Fifth. You've been called a high-caliber interpreter. What do you bring to the table with a work as well-known as this particular piece?
I think when you tackle a piece like Beethoven's Fifth, you have to start afresh every time you take it on. I've done it a lot myself. And I've done it actually quite a few times with my own orchestra, with Aurora, where we have all played it, all the musicians, from memory. So we don't use sheet music, and they internalize the music.
That is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, no, it's really fun. We do it with quite a number of pieces now. We've done about 9 or 10 symphonies. But I think it enables you to spend a huge amount of time involved in that intense piece and to strip away the layers and think back to how it might have sounded in that first concert in December 1808, which was when it was premiered.
I love that. What a wonderful idea to try and imagine that, try and get back to that place.
That was his sixth symphony, because the sixth symphony was his fifth symphony in that concert, and that it came that way around, actually. And what it was very cold, and the fourth piano concerto and the choral fantasy and Al Perfido, which is a concert aria, and both of those symphonies, fifth and sixth, the other way around. So it was about 3.5 hours long, very under rehearsed.
I wish I had more time with you, but because I feel like we could talk all day long. But I have read interviews where you dream about the future of this music, what you would like to see happen in the next 50 or 100 years with classical music. What is your vision for this music going forward? I think people look to you as somebody who can take it forward.
Oh, wow. I've never thought of it in that way. But look, certainly part of my job is to try and inspire as diverse an audience as I possibly can, and try and imagine that the next generation of musicians will be as into it and inspired as I was when I was a teenager.
Do you worry about that?
No.
No, me neither.
Why would I? I mean, I work a lot with, you know, younger people, and there's just as much, of course. You know, the raw product is there. We work also with a canon of 400 years or whatever of music that is utterly unbelievable. That's not going to change. We have to be careful, of course, that if you, say, in my country, cut music education from schools or take it away from the syllabus or whatever, are we going to have a lost generation who don't pick up an instrument thanks to a local music service? So you can't at all be blasé, and we need to work harder, I think. And you know, these days, we have a lot more distractions, even than in
we
my
do.
Generation.
Sure.
Netflix and iPhones and whatever.
Sure. The brick in our pockets.
Exactly. So we have to fight and show people what this is, because music is utterly unique as an art form.
So not worried, but certainly aware.
Aware.
Right. Nicholas Collin will make his Toronto Symphony Orchestra debut tomorrow and Saturday, Beethoven's Symphony No. 5, and we're looking forward to watching this career just from here in the colonies, here in Canada, Nick, and what a thrill, and so nice to meet you, and thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking some time with us. TSO.ca for tickets to tomorrow and Saturday's show. Very few tickets left. In fact,
Saturday and Sunday.